Over black, a word appears. Sony. A glint of light edges the letter O. The capital letters draw near, giving way to a bright light in a cloudy sky. We ascend through the clouds as an S-shaped logo rotates into view, hovering before a radiant sun. Screen Gems, a Sony company. A close view shows a rosary hanging from a headboard. Screen Gems presents a Broken Road production. On the bed, a sweat-drenched young woman lies tied to the frame. She stares blankly up at the ceiling, her body motionless.
In nomine Patris, Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Amen. An older priest stands at the bedside with a Bible in his hands. He kneels, revealing a younger priest nearby. A figure of Christ on the cross adorns the headboard. A scruffy man steps forward with a forlorn expression. The older priest leans over the still young woman.
Anna.
Sitting on the edge of the bed, he regards her closely.
Anna.
He turns Hannah's head, but she doesn't react. Dark circles ring her eyes, and sweat mats down her red hair. The scruffy man fights back tears.
Anna.
As the older priest leans closer, Hannah's eyes open, one blue, one brown. She headbutts him. Hannah's body contorts, and the younger priest douses her with holy water.
God himself commands you. Depart from the body of Hannah Grace, you demon!
Along with every satanic power of the enemy, along with every spectre from hell!
Stop! Hannah, I know you're in there.
She glares at the scruffy man.
You have to fight, baby. Fight it, Hannah.
She writhes.
Fight it. Fight it, Hannah. You have to fight.
The tortured young woman calms, and her blue eye turns brown.
Baby, it's me.
Dad.
Daddy's here, baby.
Dad.
Daddy. Baby.
Dad.
You have to fight.
Hannah grins wickedly, and her blue eye returns. Her father recoils.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit.
Hannah sits up and glares at the older priest. His body trembles. His arms reach out to his sides involuntarily, resembling a crucifixion. A low view shows the older priest's feet rising off the floor. Hannah cranes her neck as she watches him. The younger priest holds out a crucifix and says a prayer.
Father, Son,
stop!
Hannah glances at her father, then roars at the levitating priest. The older man flies back, and his head gets impaled on a Christ figure's crown of thorns. Her father frowns.
No.
Hannah looks to the side, and the younger priest drops the bucket of holy water. As he clutches his throat and struggles to breathe, his feet rise off the floor. Hannah watches him with an enamored expression. Her father goes to the man's aid.
Your whore daughter is mine. She's mine forever.
The scruffy man looks to his daughter and lowers his hands from the priest. She bares her yellow teeth at him. The scruffy man smothers her with an embroidered pillow. Hannah writhes on the bed. She kicks her bound legs. The possessed young woman gapes up at her father with wide eyes. He wears a tortured expression as his daughter's body goes limp. The younger priest stops choking and falls to the floor. The scruffy man pulls the pillow away. Its embroidery reads, "By his wounds, we are healed." Isaiah 53:5. He shuts his lifeless daughter's eyes.
Forgive me.
The younger priest places his hand comfortingly on the grieving father's back. Close glimpses show varicose veins in Hannah's ankles and her yellowed fingernails. A fly lands on the dead young woman's palm. As it crawls, her hand twitches. A title appears: The Possession of Hannah Grace. Fade to black. Words appear: 3 months later. Daytime. An aerial view shows downtown Boston. In a boxing gym, a dark-haired young woman hits a heavy bag. She stops punching and stares at the swaying bag. Now, a view through a partially open shower curtain shows the dark-haired young woman bathing. As she rinses her hair, a voice message plays.
Mag, hey, it's Lisa. I just talked to Dr. Lewis, and you're good to go, so maybe you can come in this afternoon. Okay, bye.
As Megan heads out, she briefly eyes a photo of herself and a man in police uniforms. Wearing a hooded black coat, Megan stands at the top of stone steps. She gazes across the street at Boston Metro Hospital. Megan walks toward the building. Entering the hospital's lobby, she removes her hood. A slender woman in scrubs jogs over to her.
Hey. You look nervous. You okay?
It's a job interview. I think I'm supposed to be nervous.
Okay, come on, let's go get a coffee.
Later.
This will be good. We'll go to meetings in the morning after our shifts end, and I'll be 3 floors up, so if you need anything, you know?
Megan looks over.
Thank you for this.
Don't thank me yet. You still have to meet Dr. Lewis.
This job is not for everyone. We've had 3 overnight intake assistants in the last 6 months alone.
Because of the hours?
No, because it's a thankless, solitary position. The smell. You never get used to the smell.
I was a cop. Totally used to bad smells.
Lisa mentioned that there were issues.
Lewis looks at Megan.
Yes. There were issues, but I'm much better now.
Well, she assured me that you could handle the job. Is this something you think you can handle?
I can handle it.
They step onto an elevator in a secure area.
Going down.
The door closes.
It gets to you after a while, being here. People get creeped out. Before you know it, their imaginations are running wild. Hearing things go bump in the night.
Not me. I believe when you die, you die. End of story.
Good.
Arrived at morgue.
They exit.
At night, you can't get in or out without swiping this card. You lose it, hospital security has to let you in. They will not be happy.
They enter a large area with a desk.
Most of the lights are on the sensor. The rest you have to switch on manually.
Passing a window, Megan notices a tech using a high-powered camera.
There's lots of files that need to be entered into the system. Hope you don't mind data entry.
No, not at all.
Lewis calls an elevator.
Men's room is down there, women's room is down there, and down there to the left is the incinerator room for cremation.
They get onto the elevator.
Intake bay.
In an underground garage.
This intake bay is for drop-offs only. No drop-off, no access. And you never leave the premises while you're on duty. No exceptions.
Later.
So you bring the cadaver up from the intake bay and take it into the receiving room, which is over here.
Later.
First, you take an overview of the body, and then close-ups of each individual injury.
Image capture.
All right, you try.
Megan uses the high-powered camera.
Rigor mortis makes a corpse difficult to fingerprint. Now, if you press on the knuckle, it will extend the finger and make it easier to handle.
Megan practices.
Gently roll.
Scanning.
This doohickey sends the prints to a crime database. Green means they're ready to go. Red means they're not. Green?
Green means go.
In the autopsy room, a bald man helps Lewis place a corpse in a cadaver drawer. Megan watches.
Thanks, Mo.
You bet.
Shift starts tomorrow night at 11, goes to 7 in the morning. Any problems with that?
Not at all. Well, thank you for the opportunity. I promise you won't be disappointed.
Lewis smiles and closes the cadaver drawer.
Welcome to the team.
A close view shows Megan turning on a stopwatch. Wearing athletic clothes, she runs through a residential area. As she exercises, glimpses show Hannah's mutilated corpse and opening credits appear. Shay Mitchell, Gray Damon, Kirby Johnson, Nick Thune, Lewis Hertham, and Stana Katic. Max McNamara, Jacob Ming Trent, James A. Watson Jr. Casting by Nancy Nayer, CSA. Co-producer, Andrea Ajemian. Costume designer, Deborah Newell. At home, Megan puts in contacts. Music by John Frizzell. Now Megan stops running. Editor, Stanley Kolk, NCE. Jake York. Production designer, Paula Luce. At home, Megan regards the photo of herself as a cop as she heads out. Director of photography, Leonard Hilaha. Executive producer, Glenn S. Gaynor. Produced by Todd Garner, PGA, Sean Robbins, PGA. Megan gets on a bus. Written by Brian Sieve. Later, she arrives outside the hospital and crosses the street. Directed by Diederik van Rooyen. A rising view settles on the building's glowing sign. As Megan enters, a man holds the door for her.
Thanks.
Megan approaches a security desk in the lobby. A young, curly-haired guard smiles at her. Megan faces a guard with dreadlocks sitting behind the desk.
Hey, you need to see my ID?
Do you work here?
In the morgue. I'm Megan.
Then no.
As Megan starts away, the curly-haired guard stops her and shakes her hand.
Hey, I'm Dave.
Megan.
Nice to meet you. And, you know, welcome to the graveyard shift.
The dreadlocked guard watches the exchange.
Thanks.
He smirks and goes back to his paper as Megan walks away. She swipes her keycard to call the elevator. The security door opens and she enters and presses a button. The elevator door closes. In the morgue, Megan sits behind the main desk. She peruses a document, then enters data into a computer. A slowly moving view shows the elevator hallway as the lights go out. Megan glances around. She gets up from her seat and rounds the desk. Looking up at the sensor on the wall, she waves her arms. The lights come back on. Megan heads back toward the desk. She startles.
Intake bay.
Megan glances behind the desk. A security monitor shows EMTs waiting in the intake bay. As Megan goes down the elevator hallway, the lights come back on. Later, the elevator opens by the intake bay doors. Wearing blue latex gloves, Megan approaches the doors. She spots the EMTs pulling a gurney from their vehicle. Megan swipes her keycard and the doors open.
Who are you? Where's Larry?
I don't know who Larry is, but I'm Megan.
As the EMTs enter, Megan helps one wheel the gurney into the elevator. She presses a button.
Morgue.
The doors close. Upstairs, Megan unstraps a body in a bag from the gurney.
You gotta be the right kind of stomach a job like this. Personally, I'm not what you call a people person. Dead's the way I like them.
Having moved the body onto another gurney, the EMT leaves with hers. Megan glances at a document the EMT gave her, then watches the woman go. The elevator doors close, and Megan looks down a hallway to a doorway. She wheels the gurney forward. In the receiving room, Megan uses the high-powered camera on the corpse's feet.
Image captured.
She photographs the dead old man's hand and face. Later, Megan takes his fingerprints and runs them through a scanning device.
Scanning.
A light on the scanner flashes green.
Green means go.
Megan types, and the fingerprint images appear on a computer monitor before her. In the autopsy room, she pushes the corpse into a cadaver drawer. Dave pops up from behind the open drawer's door, startling her.
Hey.
God damn it, Dave.
Sorry.
Not funny.
I didn't mean to. I honestly just came out to check on you. Shit. I feel like an asshole. Forgive me?
She gestures for Dave to leave the room.
I'll never do it again.
Really not funny.
Shutting off the light, Megan follows him. At the main desk, Megan glances around. She picks up a rubber band from a pile and adds it to a ball. Megan looks to the side, then rubs her eye. In a bathroom, Megan washes her hands. Now larger, the rubber band ball sits on a shelf below the mirror. Megan turns off the faucet and dries her hands with paper towels. She grabs the ball and passes a motion sensor hand dryer. She gives a startled flinch. Now, turning down a hallway, Megan spots a man with his back to her.
Hey!
As he starts to turn, Megan sweats. A flashback shows the officer from her photo with a gunshot wound.
Why didn't you shoot
Megan? Do something.
The man in the hall fires. With a frightened expression, Megan stares down the empty corridor. Later, she pulls a pill bottle from her bag and shakes a few into her trembling hand. Megan hesitates. She puts the pills back in the bottle and returns it to her bag.
I don't know what triggers it, really.
In a room, Megan meets with others.
A lot of things, I guess.
She stares down at the floor and shakes her head.
But I still have nightmares of what happened.
Megan recalls her time as a police officer.
Put your hands up!
She aims her weapon, and the gunman turns to her.
Me just standing there, doing nothing.
The gunman aims his weapon and fires past her, then runs.
I just freeze up, and I can't move.
With a horrified expression, Megan turns to find her partner with a gunshot wound in his chest. Later, EMTs lift her motionless partner into an ambulance. Megan trembles against a wall, and an attractive cop comforts her. In the meeting, Lisa sits near Megan.
I want it so bad sometimes. The drink and the pills, I want them so bad.
Megan leans back in her chair. A woman smiles at her.
Thank you, Megan, for sharing.
Megan rocks slightly in her seat. Daytime. Glimpses of Megan's apartment show recovery books and a partially packed box. A framed photo in the box shows Megan smiling and hugging the attractive cop. In her room, Megan wakes and puts on pajama pants. She walks to the front door and opens it. The attractive cop stands on the other side.
Hey.
He leans on the door jamb.
Just, need the rest of my stuff.
She nods.
My shift just ended, but if this is a bad time.
No, come in.
He steps inside and eyes Megan's pajamas.
And you're still in your pajamas because?
Oh, I started a new job last night. Night job.
That's great. Doing what?
Overnight intake assistant at the morgue. It's better than it sounds. Yeah, I'm basically running the place at night all on my own.
You sure that's a good idea? You know, spending so much time alone right now?
Actually, I do. You know, keeps me from going out at night, doing things I might regret in the morning. It could work for Lisa, and she thinks it could work for me, too.
Lisa?
My AA sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
A nurse at the hospital. She says it keeps her out of trouble working the night shift. It's when a job opened up at the morgue, she thought of me.
You know, still too much time alone. It's never good for anyone.
Says the guy who moved out.
You didn't give me much of a choice.
That's not true, Andrew. You know that's not true.
Just when are you concerned about the truth?
Megan glares and he averts his eyes. Megan looks down. Andrew holds a box of his things.
I didn't come to.
He glances to the side.
I should go.
Andrew leaves. Unfolding her arms, Megan shuts the door behind him. She lingers, staring at the door. Nighttime. An ambulance drives past the hospital. In the morgue, Megan sits on the floor in the hallway near the elevator leading to the intake bay. She bounces the rubber band ball against the wall. She glances down the hall.
Intake bay.
Megan walks toward the elevator. Donning blue latex gloves, Megan steps off the elevator and goes to the intake bay doors. She finds no ambulance on the other side. The red glow from the sign overhead illuminates the dark-haired young woman. She glances to the side, and a man with a hood over his face comes into view just outside the doors. Megan startles.
I forgot my key.
Could you open the door?
You don't work here.
Yes, I do. Just let me in.
Sir, back away from the door.
No, no.
Sir.
Let me in!
He bangs on the door.
I'm gonna call security. Back away from the door.
Megan boards the elevator.
Morgue.
Let me in! Let me in!
The elevator doors close. The hooded man remains outside. At the main desk, Megan makes a call.
Hey, I had a homeless guy at the intake bay.
Thanks for the heads up. Yeah, we get that a lot.
Yeah.
She hangs up. Security video shows an EMT at the intake bay.
Raw dead. Intake bay.
Megan steps off the elevator and watches the bearded EMT struggle to remove a gurney from his vehicle.
Drop off?
Hey, yeah. Whew, you're new here.
Megan.
Randy, could you give me a hand? I'm all alone tonight.
Sorry, I can't leave the premises.
Yes, yeah, stickler on the rules. But I'll tell you right now, if you don't help me get this thing inside, it's gonna start to rot and decay. It's just gonna blow up like a puffer fish. And then we're both gonna lose our jobs. Unless, what do you think?
All right, okay. Fine.
Yeah? Yeah? You're the best. My partner called in sick, strep throat, which is 100% grade A bullshit because, wanna grab that side?
Yeah.
He is holing up with his psycho ex-girlfriend.
A shadowy figure passes behind them.
Seems like he should be making some new friends.
Yeah, I think he should probably pick a better psycho ex-girlfriend next time.
The hooded man boards the elevator.
So I wanna say thank you, by the way, because the guy who used to have this job would never have just done that. He was a prick. Horrendous breath. How long you been here?
Just started.
Later, the elevator opens. Randy and Megan wheel the body on the gurney down the hallway.
What happened?
Oh, yeah, it's a bad one. Cops found her in an alley. One, two, three!
They move the corpse onto the morgue's metal gurney.
Yeah, so the guy was still slicing her. He took off. They still haven't found him.
Find out who he was?
No clue.
In the receiving room.
Hannah Grace.
Yeah, that's what it said on her ID.
A fly lands on the observation window. Randy unzips the body bag. He pulls it back, revealing Hannah's naked, partially charred, and mutilated corpse.
Told you it was bad.
Megan gapes.
That's not even the insane thing. The insane thing is they found chloroform by her body. Oh. What kind of a lunatic drugs a girl, smashes her head in it, and then tries to burn her body after she's been dead?
Megan inspects the corpse closely.
I'll tell you who it is. It's someone trying to send a message. Could have been her pimp. Might have been a drug dealer. Might have teamed up. Could have been sex.
Thanks, Randy.
You got it.
Yeah. I can take it from here.
All right.
Megan hands Randy a clipboard. In the hallway, the lights flicker as they walk.
Thanks for the help, Megan.
Yeah.
He boards the elevator.
Intake bay.
It gets easier, I promise.
Thanks.
It's all part of the job.
Randy waves as the doors close. The lights go off. Through a window, Megan glances at Hannah's corpse. The dark-haired young woman waves her arm and the lights come back on. Megan walks down the hall and turns a corner. A slowly advancing view lingers on a door at the end of the corridor. A sign over it reads, exit. Lights near the door turn on. Entering the receiving room, Megan sits at the fingerprint scanning computer and turns off the fluorescent lights. She goes to Hannah's corpse on the slab beneath the high-powered camera. Megan aims the camera over a large gash running the length of Hannah's hip bone. Other lights go out as she takes a photo.
Error. Unable to load image.
Megan touches the camera, and it turns back on, as well as a desk lamp behind her. She glances around. Megan tries to take a photo of Hannah's charred arm.
Error.
The lights and camera come back on.
Unable to load image.
Megan glances over her shoulder. She lowers the camera toward a deep laceration in Hannah's neck. The light from the device illuminates the corpse's bright blue eye. Megan struggles with the camera and it shocks her.
Ow!
She shakes her gloved hands. The camera and desk lamp come back on. Megan warily regards the high-powered device. Later, she inserts a fingerprint strip into a holder resembling a bisected tube. Megan lifts Hannah's charred index finger and presses it to an ink pad. Glimpses show her taking all of the corpse's fingerprints. Later, she runs them through the scanner. They start to appear on the monitor, but it shuts off.
What?
Error. Unable to load image.
In the autopsy room, Megan opens a cadaver drawer. She raises the gurney holding Hannah's body. She pushes the corpse in the body bag into the drawer. Lab supplies shake on a table behind her. Megan turns and they stop. Megan resumes putting the body into the drawer. The tools tremble and stop as she turns to look at them. Megan goes back to her work. The tools fall. With a confused expression, the dark-haired young woman walks over to fallen test tubes. She squats and starts cleaning up. A slowly advancing view closes in on Hannah's corpse. Megan cuts her hand. Inspecting her bleeding wound, she stands and removes her torn glove. She pushes Hannah's body the rest of the way into the drawer, and a blood droplet falls on the bag. Later, Megan sprays her wound and cuts open a roll of gauze with scissors. As she wraps her hand, a view over her shoulder shows the cadaver drawer open on its own. The dark-haired young woman finishes with the bandage and looks back. Knitting her brow, she gets up and walks over to the wall of cadaver drawers. Megan bends and peers into the compartment containing Hannah. A dim red light illuminates the plastic body bag. She shuts the door. Megan pulls a report off a clipboard attached to its surface. At the main desk, she peruses the document and pulls the fingerprint strips from her pocket. She regards them thoughtfully, then sits at a computer. She tries to access the police database.
Username, Megan. Eight. Password.
She types and gets an error message.
Bye-bye, Megan.
She erases the username. Running her hand over her hair, Megan wears a contemplative expression. She perks up and types another username.
Andrew Kurtz. Password.
She scratches her chin, then types.
Megan.
The screen changes to Andrew's profile. Megan regards the report and types into a DMV search.
DL0816.
An image of Hannah's Connecticut driver's license appears on the monitor. With a quizzical look, Megan focuses on the dead young woman's eyes. both brown. Megan glances off. Entering the autopsy room, she turns on the light and opens the cadaver drawer. She pulls Hannah's body out. Unzipping the body bag, she looks at a printout of the driver's license image. She focuses on the category for eye color.
Brown.
Megan looks at Hannah's blue right eye. Confused, she studies it closer. A fly crawls across it and down Hannah's cheek. Megan tries to shoo it away with her hand.
Get out of here.
She watches the fly crawl down the corpse's shoulder. Peering deeper into the body bag, Megan pulls back the flap, releasing a swarm of flies. She steps away and turns her back to Hannah. Listening for the sound of the insects, Megan slowly turns around. She finds the flies gone. The dark-haired young woman cautiously steps back toward the corpse. With a furrowed brow, she glances inside the cadaver drawer, then focuses again on Hannah's blue eye. Megan closes the body bag.
Losing your mind.
She pushes the body back into the cadaver drawer. Stepping through double doors, Megan walks back toward the main desk and waves her arms. The lights come on. She pauses in the center of the room, then walks over to the desk.
It's friggin' hot.
The dark-haired young woman removes her white lab coat. Behind her, lights turn on in another room. Megan doesn't notice. She stares off and shakes her head. Startling, she looks toward the room where the lights came on. Megan walks away from the main desk. She stands at the end of a corridor and looks straight ahead.
Dave? Dave, you promised. Dave!
She cautiously walks toward the elevator to the intake bay. Lights come on overhead and she looks up. As she approaches the doors to the autopsy room, she peers in through small rectangular windows in them. She knits her brow curiously and enters the room. Megan gapes.
Oh my God.
She finds an open cadaver drawer and Hannah's body gone. A side door swings shut, catching her attention. Noticing it, Megan fearfully backs into the hallway. She spots Hannah's body bag being dragged out of view. Taking cautious steps, Megan reaches toward the concrete wall and peers around a corner. Finding no one ahead of her, Megan quickens her pace. The hooded man emerges from around a bend and attacks her. He pins her against the wall and holds a knife to her throat. His partially exposed face reveals his scruffy beard.
If you scream, I will have to slit your throat. Do you understand?
Yes.
Don't you understand?
Megan hits his arm against the wall and the knife drops. She knocks him to the floor, but he grabs her leg, causing her to fall by Hannah's corpse. She kicks him. Megan crawls to the bloody knife and picks it up. Rolling onto her back, she finds her attacker gone. Gripping the weapon tightly, she gets to her feet. Megan warily steps toward the adjacent hall, then sprints down it. Lights come on overhead. At the main desk, Megan makes a phone call.
Oh, come on.
Security.
There's someone down here. Call the police now.
What?
Her eyes wide, Megan scans the area. She steps out from behind the main desk, the knife still in her hand. Finding the corridor leading to the intake bay elevator empty, she jogs ahead. She passes the autopsy room and pauses at a corner. Megan peeks down the bathroom door hallway, then continues forward. She cautiously makes her way through a set of double doors. In the incinerator room, Megan finds the hooded man standing over Hannah's corpse, readying it to be burned.
As we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Stop! Put the body down. I've already called security. There's nowhere for you to go.
The hooded man lets go of the body bag. Megan steps toward him.
Just stay calm.
You don't understand.
Megan!
Megan! Megan!
The hooded man chokes Megan. Dave tries to pull him off. The hooded man slams him against a railing, then slices him with a knife. The other guard restrains the attacker.
Get off of me! Get off of me!
He handcuffs him.
Please, listen to me! You gotta destroy your body.
Get him up!
You're coming with us!
Get him up.
Please, listen to me!
You okay?
Listen, you have to destroy your body. You gotta destroy your body. You don't know what you've done! You have no idea! She's not dead!
The guards haul him away. Megan remains in the incinerator room, staring at the body bag. In the intake bay garage, a view through a squad car's window reveals the hooded man as Hannah's father. In the autopsy room, Megan puts Hannah's corpse back in the cadaver drawer. It moves. Startled, Megan peeks in. She shuts the door. Keeping her gaze locked on the compartment, she backs away slowly. The door pops open on its own. Megan flinches. Her breathing heavy, she stares at the cadaver drawer with a frightened expression. Steeling herself, she cautiously walks forward. She reaches out and opens the door further. Megan pulls the slab out. She hesitates, then unzips the bag. She regards the corpse. Megan answers her phone and turns her back.
Hello?
Megan, it's Andrew. I just heard what happened. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, but I'm gonna have to call you back.
The corpse moves. Megan turns around. She finds Hannah's body in a different position. The tilt of the dead woman's head seems to direct her blue-eyed gaze at Megan. The dark-haired young woman steps closer. She bends down and regards the corpse closely. Hannah's mouth opens. Megan jumps back. She quickly zips the body bag and shuts the cadaver drawer. She leaves the autopsy room. In the dark hall, she looks into the autopsy room through a window. Megan waves her arms. She spots Lisa.
Hey, can you open the door?
Megan lets her in.
Hey.
You okay? That guy hurt you?
No, not really. I'm fine.
You want to call it a night? I can find someone else to cover your shift.
Seriously, Lisa, I'm fine.
Nobody is going to hold it against you if you just want to get out of here.
I know, but I want to stay, okay? I can do this. I want to do this.
But you don't
have... Lisa! I need to do this.
Lisa eyes her with a thoughtful expression.
Okay.
Megan glances past her.
What is it?
The slender woman turns toward the window to the autopsy room.
I know this is going to sound insane, but... I heard a corpse breathe.
Breathe?
Yes. Like an exhale.
Corpses expunge air sometimes when they're moved. Dr. Lewis didn't tell you this? In his defense, he probably assumed I was smart enough to know that corpses can't breathe. Are you hungry? I can get you some takeout from the cafeteria.
Sure.
Okay, come on.
Lisa walks past her. Megan's gaze lingers on the autopsy room window. At the main desk.
You know, when that guy attacked me tonight, my first instinct wasn't to run. You know, I wanted to defend myself. To stop him. I didn't freeze. Why couldn't I have done that when there was a gun pointed at my partner? You know, then none of this would have happened. Look, it's just one step at a time. This job is the next step.
Megan gazes ahead with a frustrated expression. Wearing a bandage on his forearm, Dave enters through a set of sliding glass doors.
Hey.
Hey.
There is a cop upstairs who wants to talk to you. I can cover down here if you want.
Yeah, okay. How's your arm?
Oh, it's good as new.
You want some fries?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. A view from inside the autopsy room shows Megan and Lisa leaving the way Dave came in. He takes a seat behind the main desk. The view inside the autopsy room moves away from the window. It slowly circles to the wall of cadaver drawers. It closes in on Hannah's compartment as the door opens. At the main desk, Dave sniffs a French fry, then eats it. In the autopsy room, Hannah's fingers curl around her compartment door. Upstairs, Megan finds Andrew waiting for her on a walkway. She approaches him.
You didn't have to come here. They already have my statement.
Yeah, I know. I was in the area. Are you okay? He didn't hurt you?
Just my ego. You ID him yet?
No, he's not talking. We'll know more once we get into the station.
Megan looks to the side.
You seem anxious. You staying through the night?
That's the plan.
I just know how you get when you're stressed.
Okay, look, I appreciate you coming here, but I got things covered.
Andrew takes off his uniform cap and tucks it under his arm. Megan looks at him pointedly.
There's something else?
I know this isn't the right time.
His eyes shift as he searches for words.
But when I picked up my stuff, there was something missing.
Megan shakes her head.
Bottle Xanax.
She looks insulted.
And you're assuming that I, what, stole them from you?
Did you?
She folds her arms.
It's a valid question. You're not supposed to be around controlled medications of any
kind. You misplace a bottle of pills and automatically assume.
Why are you getting so defensive?
I'm not getting defensive, I'm getting pissed. You know, it's as if you're completely incapable of giving me the benefit of the doubt.
Andrew nods stiffly. He puts his cap back on. Megan averts her pained gaze.
If you ever need my help, just call away, okay?
Andrew starts away.
Actually, there is something you could help me with. I'll be right back.
At the main desk, Dave inflates a latex glove.
Hey.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Megan takes the fingerprint strips.
I'll just be another minute, if that's okay?
Yeah, no problem. Take your time.
She leaves. Dave picks up the rubber band ball and grins. Later, he stands at the end of the hall leading to the intake bay elevator.
Bases loaded, 3-2, count down by 3. The stakes could not be higher. Here comes the pitch. It's a heater.
He bats the ball with his nightstick.
It's a grand slam!
As he celebrates out of view, a shadowy figure crosses at the other end of the hall. Hearing a faint sound, Dave turns toward the autopsy room doors. He holsters his baton and slowly crosses to them. Upstairs, Megan hands Andrew the fingerprints.
Can you run these for me at the station? The scanner broke down before I could run her prints.
Her?
Hannah Grace.
Downstairs, Dave enters the autopsy room. He glances over his shoulder toward the main desk. With a confused expression, he continues into the dark room. The lights come on. Dave spots the rubber band ball on the floor. He kneels to pick it up. A noise turns his attention to the cadaver drawers. He slowly approaches Hannah's compartment. Upstairs.
You already have her ID.
I think that ID is fake. The picture on her license doesn't match. Her eye color, it's different. What?
Wants a car.
Megan smiles and rolls her eyes.
Just give me the prints, okay?
Got it.
In the autopsy room, Dave draws closer to Hannah's compartment and presses his ear to the door. His brow furrowed, the curly-haired guard straightens and opens the door. He bends slightly and leans his hands on the bottom of the open compartment. Dave gazes inside, and hands grab him. He braces himself against the outer wall as they try to pull him inside. Dave gets thrown back across the room. Pinned against the doors, he wears a terrified expression. His feet rise off the floor, and he floats back toward Hannah's compartment. The lights flicker, and the whole room shakes. Dave's body involuntarily contorts into a pose similar to Christ on the cross. He flies back against the doors. He rises to the ceiling with his back flat against it. The slab in Hannah's drawer rolls out, revealing the empty body bag. Dave falls onto it, and an invisible force pulls him inside. A fluorescent light in the adjacent hallway switches on. A slowly moving view circles to the autopsy room doors. Spotted through the windows, Megan approaches.
Dave?
She enters the now quiet, dimly lit room. Turning on the lights, she finds medical tools strewn about the floor. She gathers them and places them back in a metal tool caddy. Megan glances up at Hannah's closed cadaver drawer. Later, she steps into the hall.
Dave?
Lights come on overhead as she approaches the intake bay elevator. Megan pauses and looks down the other corridor.
Dave!
She continues ahead down a red-lit corridor. As she pushes open the bathroom door, she pauses and looks to the side. Her perspective shows the double doors leading to the incinerator room. Megan goes into the bathroom. Later, she sits on the toilet. She sends a text to Andrew. I'm sorry, I was defensive. Thanks for running the prints for me. X. M. Pocketing her phone, Megan rubs her temple wearily. She looks up.
Hello?
With a knitted brow, she listens intently. Megan startles and looks concerned.
Dave? Is that you?
As she pulls up her pants, the rubber band ball rolls under the stall door. Fear spreading across her face. She slowly extends her hand to the floor. Megan peers under the stall door and finds the bathroom empty. A charred hand grabs the ball. She jumps back, her hands braced against the walls of the stall. Breathing heavily, she shuts her eyes and shakes her head. The dark-haired young woman glances around, then cautiously opens the stall door. She desperately waves her arm and the lights come on. Hesitating in the doorway, she scans the bathroom. She cautiously peers into both of the adjoining stalls. She leaves. At the police station.
Are you sure you gave me the right prints?
Positive.
The results are odd.
Why do you say that?
Because according to the prints, Hannah Grace has been dead for 3 months.
All right, it must be a glitch in the system. It wouldn't be the first time. Everything else okay? Megan.
Yeah, thanks.
Megan hangs up. Andrew glances at his phone. At the main desk in the morgue, Megan types on the computer. She searches Hannah Grace and gets several results. She clicks on a link and an online newspaper article comes up. The headline reads, "Exorcism to blame for New Canaan girl's death." Text in the article reads, "Catholic Church practices are being questioned by police. Family members claim the Catholic Church believed Grace to be a victim of demonic possession." In the autopsy room, Megan opens Hannah's body bag. She regards the dead young woman. Her brow furrows as she finds the gash along Hannah's hip bone, completely healed. She inspects it closer.
Wait, what?
Megan recalls trying to photograph the laceration. She closes the body bag and pushes the corpse back into the drawer. Stepping out to the dark corridor, Megan glances back through the doors into the autopsy room. She walks back toward the main desk, and a fluorescent light comes on overhead. She glances up at a camera on the wall, then to the bathroom door. At the security desk, the guard with dreadlocks talks into his shoulder radio.
Hey, Dave. Where the hell are you, man?
Megan approaches him and he looks up.
Everything all right?
The security camera's downstairs.
Yeah?
Can I access some work footage?
I can't leave the desk unmanned, but here you go.
Thanks.
At the main desk in the morgue, Megan flips through a binder the guard gave her. She views security footage of the corridors on her monitor. Megan peruses the binder again, then types. In the security video, Megan walks past the intake bay elevator. She enters the autopsy room, and the lights go out in the hallway. Megan rewinds the footage. She pauses the video of herself walking to the autopsy room and rewinds. As she does, the footage distorts. Megan narrows her eyes and watches the video again. It warps just before the Megan in the footage reaches the autopsy room. Megan rewinds, and a brief flash of something on the floor appears on the screen. She bolts out of her chair and stares at the still image of the corpse-like shadow on the floor. Megan opens her bag and takes out the pill bottle. Opening it, she looks at the monitor, then back at the pills.
Come on, Megan. Just breathe.
Composing herself, she looks back at the image on the screen. Upstairs, she approaches Lisa at a desk.
Hey, can I talk to you for a sec?
Yeah.
Excuse me. So, I thought I saw someone in the bathroom. When I went to check the security footage, I could have sworn it was her.
Meg, who is her? What are you talking about?
I need to show you something.
Later.
There. What is that?
I don't know. Well, I mean, it looks like a shadow.
It's not a shadow. When that guy broke in, he kept talking about the woman he killed. Hannah Grace, how she wasn't really dead. I looked her up. She died 3 months ago during an exorcism.
Lisa notices the pills by Megan's purse.
You know I don't believe in that kind of stuff, but this to me, like, it's not a shadow.
Lisa turns to her with a concerned expression.
What is this?
She holds up the pill bottle. Megan looks alarmed.
Lisa, I didn't take any.
Are you lying to me?
No, okay? Look, you need to believe me on this one. I promise you, I didn't take any. I wanted to, but I didn't. I just had them in my bag for comfort. I promise.
Meg, do you remember when we were in meetings and they started talking about coping mechanisms?
Yeah.
An addict's brain tries to find new ways to cope with stress. Everything that has happened to you today, the stress that it has caused, your brain is desperate to find a way to cope with it. And it is going to do anything it can to convince you to use again.
My brain did not put a corpse on the security footage.
Look, I don't know what that thing is. But what I do know is that you're jumping to the least plausible explanation. And right now, you've got to focus. So don't see things that aren't there.
Here.
No.
Just take them.
No.
Lisa shakes her head.
I trust you.
Still holding out the pills, Megan locks eyes with her sponsor. She lowers her arm. Lisa turns away.
Okay.
She leaves. With a guilty expression, Megan watches her go. She shuts her eyes. Entering a stairwell, Lisa pulls a pack of cigarettes from her back pocket. She removes one from the pack and starts to light it. A figure peers down at her from above. Drops of blood fall onto Lisa's knuckles. Pulling the cigarette from her mouth, she regards her bloody fingers. Lisa looks up to the figure. It backs away.
Dave? You okay? Dave!
She climbs the winding stairwell toward him. The lights on the wall flicker. Lisa pauses on a landing.
Dave?
She cautiously climbs to the next landing and peers around a corner. The lights flicker again. The slender nurse continues forward. Turning, she spots Dave standing in a corner with his mouth agape. His blood-stained shirt hangs open. Shadows obscure his face. Hannah reaches out from beneath the stairs. Lisa sprints up the stairs. Hannah climbs a perpendicular path, straight up the side of the stairwell. On the roof, Lisa stumbles in the doorway. She gets to her feet and runs. A flashing red light illuminates the roof. Lisa sprints to the edge, then turns and glances around. Hannah appears in the distance. Lisa's feet rise off the rooftop. Her arms reach out to the sides involuntarily. As the light flashes, Hannah vanishes, then appears right in front of her. Lisa's feet flail as the dead young woman contorts. The nurse's body takes on a similar, unnatural shape. Lisa's legs go limp, and her body falls. At the main desk, Megan spots Randy jumping on the security feed. Later...
Brought you a present. Can you give me a hand again?
Sorry, I can't help you out. Not after last time.
What? Why? What happened?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Okay, well, try me.
In the autopsy room.
So it's obviously been a long night, and I'm probably just remembering things wrong. She had a huge wound going down the side of her abdomen when you dropped her off, correct?
They study Hannah's corpse.
Yeah, I could have sworn that she did.
So where is it now? And her arm was banged up too, right?
Yeah. So have you checked the admittance photos?
Camera broke down, and when I tried to scan her prints, scanner died too.
That's weird.
So, I had a friend run her prints at the police station.
And?
Hannah Grace. She died 3 months ago during an exorcism.
Randy looks taken aback.
Whoa.
But when that man broke in, he said she wasn't really dead. And now, it's almost like she's healing herself.
He steps closer to Megan with a concerned expression.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Her eyes shift in thought.
How personal?
Why are you working the night shift at a morgue?
Because it's my job?
No, no. You're smart and resourceful. So what happened? You know what? Actually, it's not even... I'm sorry. It's not my business. I had a rough patch a few years back, and I don't know. I guess I thought I saw that in you. I'm sure that there is a rational explanation for all of this. You just... Megan, you gotta be careful that you don't drive yourself crazy here.
I know.
Randy pulls out his cell phone and shows her a photo of a fair-haired boy. Megan smiles as she regards the picture.
He's adorable.
I used to have a drinking problem. And I would get drunk and lie and cheat. And people told me that I was a dick sometimes. All the time. And then this guy shows up and he made me want to be a better person. So I quit drinking. I quit lying. And then I was finally able to be honest with the people that love me because I was finally able to be honest with myself.
Unbeknownst to Randy and Megan, a large bruise on Hannah's back heals. The hemorrhaging in her eye disappears.
Do you ever want to talk?
By the elevator.
I'm the guy.
Thank you.
They briefly grip hands.
Have a good night.
You too. Get home safe.
Intake bay.
The elevator doors close. Alone in the corridor, Megan takes out her cell phone. She makes a call to Andrew at the police station.
Hey, I was just about to call you.
That bottle of Xanax that you were looking for. I didn't take it.
Megan, you already told me this.
I found it in the medicine cabinet after you moved out. And I should have packed it up with the rest of your things, but... I kept it. I've just been feeling anxious lately. And I felt safer knowing that they were there. You know, in case I needed them.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I'm tired of lying. Anyway, I'll drop them off tomorrow morning if you're there.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm glad you told me, okay?
Me too. Bye.
Bye.
Behind Megan, Hannah crawls into the elevator. The doors close just as Megan approaches them.
Going down.
On the elevator, Hannah stands up. In the corridor, the lights flicker as Megan eyes the elevator suspiciously. She starts down the adjacent hallway and glances back as she goes. At the autopsy room doors, Megan pauses and looks in through the windows. She spots Hannah's closed compartment and continues on. In the intake bay, Randy finishes putting the stretcher into the ambulance. A sound catches his attention and he peers around the side of the vehicle. He glances over his shoulder, then looks in through the open driver's side door. Randy glances back, then gets behind the wheel. He peers at the empty rear cabin. Randy adjusts his side mirror and starts the vehicle. He drives forward.
This is Randy. Drop-off complete.
The bearded EMT lowers his radio. Coming to a stop, Randy puts the ambulance in park and gets out.
Hey,
He walks around the front of the vehicle and looks at the bumper. Finding nothing there, he kneels and peers under the ambulance.
God damn it.
As he goes to the cabin for his phone, Hannah crawls out from behind a column.
Hello?
Randy glances off. The lights overhead start to flicker. He turns on his flashlight and scans the garage.
Hello?
He walks between a pair of parked ambulances. The back doors of one hang open. Randy turns. At the main desk, Megan rewinds security footage of herself walking down the corridor. In the intake bay, Randy continues searching the dark garage with his flashlight. He glances to the side. He steps to the ambulance's open back doors. Randy shines his flashlight into the empty rear cabin. Hannah crawls along the ground. In the security video, Megan spots Hannah's leg on the elevator. In the intake bay, Randy slowly turns. His flashlight beam falls on Hannah standing in the shadows directly behind him. The bearded EMT flees and takes refuge between two parked ambulances. Megan watches the footage of Hannah crawling onto the elevator. Something pushes the ambulances together, trapping Randy. Hannah crawls up the vehicles toward him. Megan hurries to the elevator. A swinging ambulance door hits Randy in the face. Hannah crawls over and grips his throat. Megan walks out to the intake bay and glances around cautiously.
Randy?
She briskly steps over to a column and peers around it. Finding no one, she ventures further into the garage. Coming upon Randy's ambulance, she sidles around to the front and finds his slumped body.
Oh my God.
The front bumper pins him against a column. Megan checks his pulse. With a terrified expression, she backs away. Megan answers her phone.
Andrew.
Megan, go to security right now. The guy who broke into the morgue killed the two officers transporting him to the station. We have an APB out on him, but there's a chance he can make it.
Hannah's father grabs Megan.
Move!
Holding a gun to her head, he leads her inside. They enter the autopsy room.
Open it!
Megan opens Hannah's cadaver drawer and pulls out her body. Mr. Grace points.
Get the lift.
She wheels over a hydraulic gurney. Mr. Grace unzips the body bag. As he pulls back the flap, Hannah's burns partially heal. Megan looks scared.
You see what's happening to her body?
She's healing.
She heals herself by killing people, and then she rests. Why hasn't she killed you?
I don't know.
Megan gently pushes his gun away.
I believe you.
She guides his arm down. His eyes glistening, Mr. Grace regards his daughter's corpse. He glances at Megan. Mr. Grace removes the hood of his jacket.
There's something evil hiding inside her. The church said to walk away. But I couldn't give up on my only child.
That's your daughter.
Not anymore. Hannah struggled with depression, anxiety. It worked on her, day after day, till it broke her. Found its way inside her body.
Is that when her eye changed?
Yeah. That's the demon's mark. No matter how many exorcisms they performed, it stayed. One last
attempt.
In a flashback.
In the name of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, be gone!
You have to understand. I did what I did to save the lives of others.
Weeping, Mr. Grace pulls the embroidered pillow off his lifeless daughter's face.
But the demon was too powerful. It stayed. The next day when we went to bury her, the body, it disappeared from the mortuary.
Glimpses show Hannah's body contorting and a bloody hand leaving a print on a window.
Four people were dead. We have to get her to the incinerator.
In the incinerator room.
The knife wasn't enough. The only way to destroy this thing is to burn her. Anything else just slows her down.
A view from inside the incinerator shows Megan gazing at the flames. Mr. Grace sits beside his daughter's corpse. Hannah's eyes shift to him as he turns away. Megan turns as Hannah shoves her father away. The possessed corpse runs her finger down Megan's cheek, then grips her face tightly. Mr. Grace breaks his daughter's arm and throws Megan off the platform. Hannah grips her father's throat and lifts him. She slams him down on the hydraulic gurney.
No! Stop!
The force of Hannah's scream pushes her father into the incinerator. He tries to cling to the edge, but fails. More of her burns healing. Hannah turns to look at Megan, who runs out a door. Hannah pursues her. Megan frantically tries to swipe her key card.
Come on! Come on! Come on! Come on!
In the intake bay, a squad car slows to a stop. Andrew steps out of the vehicle and turns on a flashlight. Inside, Megan gets in the elevator.
Mezzanine.
The doors close just as Hannah arrives.
Going up.
Megan presses her hands against the wall. Hannah crawls up behind her.
Wrong death. Mezzanine.
Struggling to breathe, Megan limps out of the elevator. Hannah crawls up a column behind her. In the intake bay, Andrew walks between two ambulances and makes a call. He spots Megan's phone on the ground. Andrew picks it up. He turns and notices Randy's body. Andrew uses his radio.
Officer Kurtz, reporting to 1065. I need backup at Boston Metro Hospital. Possible homicide.
A sound catches his attention. Andrew spots the swinging intake bay doors. He shines his flashlight toward them and walks forward. In a corridor, Megan lowers to her hands and knees. Hannah drops from a column. The possessed corpse crawls toward the dark-haired young woman. Reaching Megan, Hannah puts her hand over the frightened young woman's mouth and nose. Megan passes out, and Hannah sniffs her. In the corridor, the lights flicker out. The elevator doors open. Andrew shines his flashlight ahead.
Megan.
The sound of his voice catches Hannah's attention. She crawls off Megan and drags her unconscious body. Stepping off the elevator, Andrew keeps his gun at the ready. He turns toward a sound and walks forward. Looking to the side, he cautiously enters the dark autopsy room. A view through a window shows him searching the area. He stands with his back to the cadaver drawers.
Megan,
A slowly advancing view lingers on Hannah's compartment as Andrew walks away.
Megan.
Megan stirs awake inside Hannah's cadaver drawer. She touches the ceiling and walls. Lifting her head, she glances around. She notices Dave's corpse in the compartment next to hers. Lisa's body lies on her other side.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Megan grabs metal beams and pulls herself up.
Oh God!
She lies back down.
God.
Outside the autopsy room, Andrew shines his flashlight on the main desk. He turns and spots the guard.
Who's there? It's Officer Kurtz. Megan's friend. Where is she?
Yeah, I don't know. Dave's missing too. Everything's down. What's going on down here?
In the cadaver drawer, Megan sits up and repeatedly kicks the door. The door swings open, catching Andrew and the guard's attention. Megan slides out of the compartment. The two men rush over.
Megan!
Andrew! Oh my God!
What happened?
Get out of here! Okay. We have to get out of here!
Taking his fingers out of his ears, the guard spots Hannah crawling down from the ceiling.
Oh, come on! What? Come on!
Megan notices Hannah.
What?
Oh my God! Come on! Come on!
The doors close.
Going down.
Megan!
Hannah tears out the guard's throat. Andrew aims.
Hey, stop!
The laceration in Hannah's neck heals. She raises her arms and Andrew grimaces. His arms extend involuntarily. Andrew's feet rise off the floor.
Let him go!
Hannah bares her teeth.
Megan!
Composing herself, Megan lifts her gaze to the possessed corpse. She stares Hannah down, and the corpse's menacing expression softens.
Megan!
Megan takes Andrew's gun and shoots Hannah. She continues firing as she stalks toward Hannah. The possessed woman falls to her knees. Hannah growls. Megan shoots her again. Hannah falls still and Andrew drops to the floor. The lights go out. Dropping the gun, Megan rushes to Andrew.
Andrew, you okay?
She helps him up.
Okay, come on. Hurry. We don't have much time.
Draping his arm around his shoulder, Megan helps Andrew walk. They step past the dead guard and Hannah's motionless corpse. Megan calls for the elevator. Her brow bleeding and sweat beating on her face, the dark-haired young woman glances back. She steps to an intersection and looks at Hannah's unmoving corpse. Megan faces Andrew, who stands in the elevator.
Go get help.
Megan, what? Megan!
The doors close. Megan goes to Hannah's body and drags her down the hall. In the incinerator room, Megan pushes Hannah's corpse on the hydraulic gurney. As she struggles to push the possessed corpse into the flames, Hannah grabs her head. Megan continues pushing Hannah into the incinerator. She breaks free of the corpse's grip. Hannah wraps her arms around Megan's neck. The dark-haired young woman pushes her further into the flames. Hannah loses her grip on Megan's arms as the fire engulfs the corpse. Megan shuts the incinerator door. Her gaze transfixed on the incinerator, Megan lingers, slightly swaying on her feet. She turns away and slowly steps down the ramp. Thank you. leaves the room. A slowly moving view rounds a corner, revealing Megan sitting on the floor in a hallway. She bounces the rubber band ball off an opposite wall. The guard's body lies in the adjacent corridor. Shining flashlights, officers rush forward. Andrew jogs over to Megan. He squats and rests his hands on her bent knee. She wears a dazed expression. Andrew wraps her arms around him and helps her to her feet. They walk down the corridor, fade to black. Daytime. An aerial view shows a bridge in the Boston skyline. Wearing athletic clothes, Megan goes for a run in an area below the bridge.
I'm 62 days clean. And I'm thankful for how far I've come. It's not easy.
Glimpses show her hitting the heavy bag in the boxing gym, then taking a shower at home.
And I know I have a long way to go, but I'm feeling stronger every day.
A fly lands on her mirror. Megan watches it crawl up the glass. She smacks the insect with her hand. Cut to black.
Nothing's gonna stop me now.
Credits roll. Cast: Shay Mitchell as Megan Reed, Gray Damon as Andrew Kurtz, Kirby Johnson as Hannah Grace, Cadaver, Nick Thune as Randy, Lewis Hertham as Man, Killer, Granger, Stana Katic as Lisa Roberts, Max McNamara as Dave, Jacob Ming Trent as Ernie Gaynor, James A. Watson, Jr. as Dr. Henry Lewis, Marianne Bayard as female ambulance driver, Adrian Mompoint as other ambulance driver, Matt Mings as Megan's police partner, Heis Scholten van Aschot as Father Marcato, Guy Clemens as Father Cunningham, Sean Burns as Junkie, Andrea Lyman as Boston Pedestrian, George Vizina as background doctor, Melissa McMeekin as AA meeting host, Robert M. Armstrong, Stephen Charette, Alexis Roth, Jacori A. Salmon, Anthony Suhu, Stephen Spewak, David Pridemore as AA meeting members, Jeff Bellin, Francine Busca, Edward P. Burns, Monica Farrington, James T. Lieber, Robert B. Neville, Sarah E. Olson, Stephen Wise as morgue employees, Robert La Tremoyer as corpse, Kevin Butler, Christina M. Calvillo Medeiros, Edward Mattingly, Sr., John E. Meany, James J. Robinson, Jeffrey Paul Valenti, Sean Fogarty, Alan Francis as police officers, Andrew Perillo as doctor, Colin Allen as technician on phone, Manny Familare as paramedic, stunt coordinator Paul Marini, stunt rigger John Mason, stunt double Megan Aja Freri, stunt double Dave Sam Stimson, stunt double man killer Granger Philippe von Lantham, unit production manager Glenn S. Gaynor, first assistant director Adam Druxman, second assistant director Kenneth R. Donaldson, production supervisor Billy Bonifield, set decorator Kim Leolice, lead man Bridget Keefe, on-set dresser Chris Analaro, buyer Sophie Carlhayen, set designer Anthony Raymond, art department coordinator Chris Sullivan, graphics Megan Blake, script supervisor Kelly Cronin. Copyright 2018 Screen Gems, Inc. Screen Gems, Inc. is the author of this film, motion picture, for the purposes of copyright and other laws. This film is dedicated to a trailblazing member of the Screen Gems family, Pilar McCurry. This is a work of fiction. The characters, incidents, and locations portrayed, and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to or identification with the location, name, character, or history of any person, product, or entity is entirely coincidental and unintentional. Sony Pictures, SPE, and its wholly owned film divisions did not receive any payment or other consideration for the depiction of tobacco products in this film. This motion picture photoplay is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and/or distribution of this photoplay may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Sony Pictures, a greener world. Sustainable efforts made a difference. Sony. Screen Gems, a Screen Gems release. A Sony company. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH, with funding from Sony Pictures Entertainment, read by Adrienne Barbeau. For more information about Motion Picture Access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org.